Hey, let's read a few selected verses right here before we get started. And so have your Bibles open to 1 Thessalonians. Okay, and your notepad ready and your highlighter and your pen as we wait for the rest of the saints there to come in. Thank you for your prayers also on International Prayer Assemblies here yesterday. Here's something from 3 Hermas. Okay, 3 Hermas chapter 9. Okay, these therefore had their conversation among the angels. It's kind of interesting. Conversation among the angels, which also shows that the spirit is talking to Hermas there. A conversation continues between these two dimensions. These therefore have their conversation among the angels. And also other manifestations. It's concerning ministering spirits. We have also the orbs, which we also see, and starbursts, which we also see. If you want to make a note on that, that was out of 3 Hermas chapter 9, and that was verse 217. Here's another one, 3 Hermas chapter 9, verses 246 and 247. Okay, the most honorable of the Lord talks about, "Whosoever therefore," said the Lord, "whosoever therefore shall continue as children without malice, shall be more honorable than all those whom I have yet spoken. For all such children are honored by the Lord and esteemed first of all. Happy, therefore, are you who shall remove all malice from you and put on innocence, because you shall first see the Lord." All right, and that was out of, here's another one, 3 Hermas is similar to chapter 9, verse 264 and 265. And he says, "And I say unto all you who have received this seal, keep simplicity, remember not the offenses which are committed against you, nor continue in malice or in bitterness, see, through the memory of offenses, but become one spirit." Of course, that's what we're doing here. One spirit comes, of course, through the priesthood. "But become one spirit, and provide remedies for these evil rents, and remove them from you." The evil rent he calls about is concerning a breach in the soul. Okay, a breach in the soul. Okay, and of course, the peace of God fills that breach in the soul, crack in the soul. All right, let's read another one here. 3 Hermas, similar to chapter 9. Again, we continue on. If you want to make a note on that, this is verse 269 and 270. Now the Lord says here, the angel of the Lord says, "Wherefore take care of yourselves while the tower is yet building." And that's what we're doing now. The second eighth week, the tower is being constructed. When it's completed, then the rapture is going to happen. So let's see what he says here. "Wherefore take care of yourselves while the tower is yet building, for the Lord dwells in those that love peace, for peace is beloved. But he is far off from the contentious and those who are full of malice. Wherefore, restore unto him the spirit entire as you receive it." That's what we're doing. Okay, we reciprocate the knowledge which we have received to, of course, as he said here, restore the spirit entire as he received it. So that's coming full cycle. We love him because he first loved us. So he's provided us this knowledge of grace in order that we can reciprocate these things in charity to receive the benefits, okay, and the seal of our salvation. Let's read something here out of 2 Enoch. Okay, if you want to make a note on that, 2 Enoch, chapters 45, verse 1 and 3. Here, the Spirit of the Lord is revealing to Enoch regarding sacrifices. And he says this, and this is what we do. "He who was prompt with his oblations in front of the face of the Lord will be prompt with his compensations." In other words, if you're diligent and focused, okay, with your sacrifice and your priesthood, the Lord is also diligent and focused, okay, in your reciprocations, okay, and giving you more grace and visitations. "But with this, the Lord tests the hearts of mankind." Okay, and that's out of 2 Enoch 45, 1 through 3. Let's read one more, okay, before we get started here. All right, before the bell rings. All right, 2 Enoch chapter 45, verse 3, if you want to make a note on that one. "That is nothing but he," that is God, "demands pure hearts. And by means of all those things, he tests people's hearts." Have your Bibles open there to 1 Thessalonians. We're going to continue on there. Okay, where we left off last week. Hey, 2 Thessalonians. We'll be moving around a little bit from chapter to chapter. Hey, let's pick up here. Okay, who both killed the Lord Jesus. And now he's talking about right here, the thought continues in verse 14. For you, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. Hey, they're functioning in their priesthood. When he says the word Christ Jesus, he's identifying your particular manner of activity. When he says Jesus Christ, he's talking about as concerning the reciprocation. The gift which we receive is given back to him, okay, in fullness, much as much as a crop, okay, that begins with a seed and ends with a harvest. Okay, so he says, for you, brethren, that is by this power, and also by accepting the testimony, the Apostle Paul saying our testimony, okay, you're now bonding with Christ and being called to the symbol by his Spirit, beginning in Jerusalem, even at Pentecost. Okay, what he's saying here, beginning at Jerusalem, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus, which began at Pentecost to grant us this new priesthood, the invisible. For you also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as we have of the Jews, he says here. Okay, because of this adoption. Okay, this priesthood is also a seal of our new adoption. And this is what he's talking about. Christ's adoption of them began with this circumcision, as you also now experience by our letters to you, even as we have also the Gentiles. And the Apostle Paul here is identifying the same identical work, which began the day of Pentecost and the circumcision of the heart by the Spirit. Okay, that tradition is being carried through even to the Gentiles, which shows that there is neither male nor female, nor Jew nor Gentile, regarding our identification. Our points of identification have changed from the flesh and history of the flesh in its memorials, okay, of death, okay, that which is now tethered to the Father. The true memorial of our origin is also, okay, the goal of our destiny. And here he says, who both killed the Lord Jesus. Okay, these protesters, okay, they set the terms. They set the terms. Okay, and that's what he's talking about here, who both killed the Lord Jesus by rejecting his record and didn't receive those God sent before, even by the prophets. Now, this we'll be reading about that in, we get to Jeremiah. Who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and persecuted us. Okay, are now rejecting even our calling. As Paul is explaining to them, that which is born of the Spirit is persecuted by that which is born of the flesh. We can see the transition taking place within the Garden of Eden. That which was of the Spirit was first, but by the transgression, that which is of the flesh dominated that which is of the Spirit. So that which is of the Spirit would be in servitude. Okay, that which is the Spirit being servitude. So therefore, because Satan is in the heavenlies, which means he's in the atmosphere, called the principality and power of the air, he rules the minds of the wicked because they're tethered to his aspirations. The wicked are tethered to Satan's aspirations. Being tethered to Satan's aspirations, it makes them aggressive against that which is tethered to Christ. Okay, but that which is tethered to Christ, okay, is superior in regarding the divine work, okay, but is yet servant, okay, is subjected to that which is the flesh. Okay, we can see this, Jesus being crucified, being humbled. He humbled himself and was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus subjected himself to that which is the rule of the flesh, yet being subjected to that, the flesh did not rule his faith. That's what I'm saying. The flesh did not rule his faith, but that which was in the minds of the Pharisees, he subjected himself. He delivered himself into their hands. Okay, of course, this was the plan. Okay, this whole dimension, okay, was created for the unfolding of this plan. This was God's wisdom. So that death was placed within this dimension for a reason. Death was created and placed within this dimension, and at his conclusion of this dimension, he'll be cast in lake of fire. His usefulness has now been completed. And of course, we'll see that at the end of millennial reign of Jesus Christ, when we enter the 10th week, when God creates a new heavens, new earth. So who both killed the Lord Jesus, their own prophets, they persecuted us because they were sowing doubt, they were sowing suspicion, and also by doing these things, by sowing this doubt, they replaced the true faith with the aspiration. They were walking after the manner of the flesh, after man, after the rituals of the flesh. Okay, their rituals, their customs, their traditions, Okay, that is to promote the letter of their own light, okay, not the true light, but their own light, which has to do with self-redemption. Okay, self-redemption. So therefore, in verse 16, forbidding us, okay, which means to religiously correct. Okay, we have there's a system that's been initiated and adopted within this government concerning being politically correct, which has to do with removing of personal identification, removing a personal identification or personal philosophy to identify with a more or less a global philosophy. And this is what the Jews were doing in Jerusalem, which means you have to be religiously correct. That means you have to see things from our perspective and accept our laws. So they're making laws to justify their ignorance. Okay, and they're also qualifying their own letter, okay, to be that which is Christ. Their own letter was Jesus Christ. That's what they call Christ, which is a false Christ, which, of course, the Bible calls Antichrist. We'll talk more about that in a moment here. Forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, because they want to set the standards and regarding the knowledge which should be shared, because they're, again, qualifying their own philosophy of life. Okay, and this is what the Apostle Paul talks about in Colossians. Okay, beware, okay, of the philosophies of man. Okay, those things which work after the flesh, after the manner of the flesh, and not after that which is sanctified by God. Forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, because they're calling their aspiration to be faith, and to fill up their sins always. They wanted to convert the Gentiles to Judaism. Okay, that was something that they have done for ever since they came into Canaan, into their promised land. Okay, that was to convert the Gentiles to their particular religion. And of course, the Gentiles did not exactly accept that, because that required a complete transition from the traditions which they embraced, okay, and how they valued life. Okay, they used their traditions as that scale. That scale, of course, would be their own scale of truth, which is the hypocrite. The hypocrite is one that's true to themselves. Okay, but we're true to Christ. Okay, we're not the hypocrite because we're true to Christ. If we are true to ourselves, then we would be a hypocrite. So here, Paul says in verse 16, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always. Okay, for the wrath, and you might want to hide the word wrath there. Okay, in other words, God's full disclosure came upon this particular nation, that these particular people, for the wrath has come unto the uttermost. In all places they bear this curse, okay, as saltless knowledge. Okay, as saltless knowledge. And we'll see this here in Jeremiah, where he says right here, concerning persecuting the prophets. Where he says here, and kill the Lord Jesus and their own prophets. That's in verse 15. So put your marker here in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, and turn to Jeremiah chapter 9. Okay, we'll start around verse 12. Who is the wise man that he may understand this? Who is the learned scholar to unlock the future of these people? Of course, the stewardship is. Who is the wise man that may understand this? This has to do with the judgments. Because Jerusalem, and the Lord says, I'll make Jerusalem heaps and a den of dragons. A den of dragons, which has to do with, it's full of false knowledge. It's like a church on every corner, and every church teaches their own perspectives. So you see this a lot. Okay, it's a church in this corner, a church in that corner, and you go down the street, a church in that corner, and across from it, opposite that is another church. So you have a Presbyterian church on one side, an Episcopalian church on the other side, and down the street is a Free Methodist church. Okay, and you go down a little further and you see a Catholic church. That's an example. Okay, it was the same thing in ancient times. Okay, so who is a wise man, the learned scholar that can understand this and warn these people? Who is a wise man that may understand this, unlock this future? He to whom the mouth of the Lord has spoken, the true steward, that he may declare, that is to preach this, for what? The land perishes and is burned up like a wilderness that none passes through. Okay, the land that was very fertile, which had flowing and cascading falls. Also, they had hot springs. And we see about that in the Old Testament, the one that discovered the hot springs. Okay, as well as that the hills were covered with all forms of grasses there for the cattle. And they also had many patches of forest, mostly around Ephraim. Okay? And so this is what he's talking about right here. It's all going to be changed into sand. And we can see that in the Middle East. Well, okay, this is what Jeremiah is talking about right here. Okay, Jeremiah is saying, take heed and observe this comparison. And of course, as we take heed and this comparison, when we come back to establish the millennial reign of Christ, we're going to see a stark contrast. The earth which bore the image of death will now bear the image of life. And the waters of life will flow freely from the eastern side of the temple, okay, which would be built. And there it flow underneath the wall from the altar, okay, and it'll bring healing. This is what Ezekiel saw. The whole land is going to be restored. You know, if you watched the movie called Noah, it was really interesting of how the land was destroyed because of industry of the fallen watchers. And the land was just spoiled. But then God healed the land, okay, and just by a drop of water, okay, the land just suddenly became from a tree or to from a drop of water, from a river to a forest. It was really fascinating watching that. Okay, as trees just sprung up in a matter of minutes right out of the ground. All right, well, we're gonna have contrast. Okay, and this is what Jeremiah is saying. It says, behold the contrast. What you're beholding right now is not gonna be like this. God's gonna turn it into a desert howling wilderness. Okay, for the Lord says in verse 13, he testifies, because they have forsaken my law, they all the people have grown dim in their eyes and their understanding because of all the false knowledge that was being preached. Because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, that's to read this, these things, and have not obeyed my voice, which means the grace through my stewardship. They have not obeyed my voice, that's the voice of the Lord, or the grace of God in the stewardship. Neither walk therein. Okay, that was part of the commandment which God gave to Moses to hand down to the people. Okay, which has to do if they will be obedient to the voice of the Lord. But they thought obedience to the voice of the Lord was just reading the Torah and establishing traditions based upon their own interpretation. Now that's what the people do today. They replace the voice of the Lord with their Bible. Now the Bible points to the voice of the Lord. Okay, the Bible points to the voice of the Lord because the Bible is divinely inspired. Okay, but it points to the stewardship. Okay, and here Jeremiah is showing them the same thing. When you deny the stewardship, you privately interpret the scriptures, which means you apply them only to yourself and to your own aspirations. You apply the scriptures to your religious aspiration. Okay, but have walked after the imagination, hide the word imagination there in verse 14. Yeah, it means you only agree to sophistic knowledge, you know, hoping for the prosperity of Deuteronomy 28. Okay, you claim the text as my voice. And that's what the false religious system has done today. They claim the text as the voice of the Lord. But the voice of the Lord is not in the text. The voice of the Lord is in a person. Okay, that's why God is going to send Enoch and Elijah during the seventh week. The voice of the Lord is in these stewards, okay, which will begin instructing the converts, okay, which of course will bring hope to those, okay, which are in deep darkness. Okay, before the beast initiates global law and his own global religion. But you have walked after imagination of your own heart, after Balaam, idols of substitutionism, okay, and also being the traditions of devils. Okay, that's what Paul talks about, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Doctrines of devils, okay, that's the false grace. A seducing spirit is false grace. Okay, it affirms the witness of the logic. Okay, affirms the witness of logic. Okay, the seducing spirit will not affirm the witness of God, which is the anointing and the stewardship. But the seducing spirit will give witness to one's tradition, custom, or race. Okay, that's what the seducing spirit works with and gives false witness. Okay, there's a witness which is from above and there's a witness which is earthy. Chief Elder John brings that out. For the three to bear record in heaven, the Father and the Word and Holy Ghost, and these three are one, or three to bear witness in earth, the Spirit and water and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Okay, but that which is from above, being superior, cleanses the conscience and settles the heart with his peace. But you have walked after the imagination of after their own heart, after Balaam, which their fathers taught them. This was a tradition of false knowledge. And we see 2,000 years of traditions of false knowledge, okay, and very deep roots of perceptions, numerous books written by religious institutions that dominated the religious world and found their way into Christendom, and people began to build, okay, their own form of Christianity upon the books of those which were written not by apostles, okay, not by the stewards of God's sanctification, okay, but the stewards of evil spirits. Okay, the deception began in the Garden of Eden and continues on today until the heavens are cleansed. Okay, when the heavens are cleansed, the nations will be angry. Satan will be cast out. The challenge is now set. Either you take the mark of the beast or you will die. Okay, which means those that refuse the mark, being beheaded, okay, will be given the chance to live during the thousand-year reign of Christ. Okay, so the heavens must be cleansed. They're not cleansed right now. Okay, they're not cleansed right now, but they will be cleansed when Satan is cast out. All right, now let's go to verse 15. Now, because of this ignorance there, therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. He's identifying, genealogy of this memorial. The genealogy of this memorial, okay, goes back to the patriarchs. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Now remember, Moses also said, okay, to the Lord, whom shall I say sent me? And say, tell him that I am has sent me. They're going to ask me the name of the God that sent me. And this is what I want you to tell them. I am that I am has sent me. The eternal one who's outside of time is the one has selected this vessel, you Moses, as a vessel to represent the invisible kingdom. Okay, and this is what he's saying here. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, of all angels and of all creation, the God of Israel, okay, being the source of your faith. Behold, I will feed them, even this people, but this is what I'm going to feed them. I'm going to feed them with wormwood. This is what the Lord did with the children of Israel in the wilderness under the stewardship of Moses. Those that rejected the stewardship of Moses or stood against the priesthood of Aaron suffered the poisonous bites of the fiery serpents, okay, that bit them. They had looked to the staff of the serpent, okay, to their humiliation. They had accept that. If you do not look to the staff, okay, which the stewardship holds, if you don't look to that measure, okay, you will die of the bite, okay, of the serpents, okay, and the scorpions. So he says, I'm going to feed them wormwood. Okay, you kind of think, he says, why doesn't he feed them fresh water? Wormwood, the bitter water. And that's the first thing that we see is going to be taking place in the opening of the Great Tribulation. The opening of Tribulation begins not only with the asteroid hitting in the Pacific Rim, okay, and wiping out all these islands, and also hitting the coast of California, and that's where California is going to just slide off. I mean, it's going to be an enormous tsunami. We're not talking about something that's just, you know, this was recently from the volcano there in the Pacific there. Okay, we're talking about something that's going to send a wave there over 5 miles high. Okay, but here he says with wormwood, and that's the next one it hits. Wormwood, we see that in Revelations. Okay, in the book of Revelation, chapter 8. And the second angel sounded, and he saw a star fall from heaven, and his name was Wormwood. Okay, that's bitterness. And we see the bitterness right here. The knowledge that these people embraced was poisonous. Okay, but they thought the water that they were drinking was sweet. Behold, I will send them, I will feed them, even as people with wormwood. He says here, and give them water of gall to drink. Okay, that means which doesn't proceed from the tree of life. Okay, but from the cursed vine. That's what he's saying. But this doesn't proceed from my throne, where the tree of life is at, but it proceeds from the accursed vine. It springs from the vine or from that which Satan planted. And I will scatter them. Now keep that in mind. I will scatter them. Now when we go back to Thessalonians. I will scatter them also among the heathen. It means under the spell of this false knowledge, the poisonous false knowledge, they're going to carry this false knowledge into all places where they're going to be separated. So under the spell, they will be separated to their own quarters. It's like hogs in a barn, okay, fattening them for the slaughter. So I will scatter them also among the heathen, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, like in Europe, concerning Spain, Russia, Italy, Germany. Okay, he's going to spread them out on there, and they're going to take root there, and they're going to be persecuted there. whom neither they nor their fathers have known. I will send a sword after them till I have consumed them. Okay, that's consumed them in the fire. Their carcasses will burn to dust. That's what he's saying. Their carcasses shall burn to dust to remove any image of their pride. Okay, now let's go back to Thessalonians chapter 2. And he says, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, verse 16, that they might be saved to fill up their sins always. That's what we just read about, to fill up their sins always. For the wrath is come unto them unto the uttermost. But we, brethren, he says in verse 17, but we, brethren, okay, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavor the more abundantly to see you, to see your face with great desire. Okay, let's go over to verse 17 again. Okay, but we, and he's talking about, as called of God, we must oversee his work in all places to encourage those converted to remain steadfast in all things. And this is why, because there were those which Satan, okay, was sowing among them. This was earlier on. Now, the book of Revelation, which was written by Chief Elder John, was written much sooner than most philosophers, okay, and scholars want to agree to. Okay, so they put that at the back of the Bible, when actually it should be put to the forward, okay, of the epistles, because the apostles drew upon those revelations concerning the first chapter, first three chapters of Revelation. Okay, we talks about unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. Okay, and of course, we can see here about the seven churches of Asia. The Thessalonians also were in the same areas of proximity. Okay, wherefore, when I would come unto you, that is, attend your assembly, even I, Paul, once and again, Satan hindered us. Now, I like the word Satan hindered us. Okay, as we had to stay there and answer those questions they sowed in the minds of the people. Okay, who were they? Okay, and of course, we see this in the book of Timothy. The Apostle Paul had to undo a lot of philosophical snares. Okay, of course, today we just go online and post them on Twitter or Facebook. Okay, but there they had to write letters as well as go there personally. And we talk about there in Timothy here, he talks about Phygellus and Hermogenes and Hymenaeus and Philetus, okay, as well as also Hymenaeus and Alexander, those which are in 1 Timothy and also in 2 Timothy, identifying these elders and those which set themselves up in positions of teaching, and they were not called to do that, as we're going to see here in a moment. So here, but Satan hindered us. Let's talk about that for a second. And so let's jump over to 1 John chapter 2. And we'll see what he's going to talk about there. And verse 18, little children, is the last time. When he talks about the last time, he's talking about the last 2,000 years. This is the last time, or the last 2,000 years. We know that 6,000 years have been determined. Okay, and the seventh millennium will be his reign. Little children, is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, there's the word Antichrist and Antichrists. As you have heard that Antichrist shall come. Now, we can see this is in the second, first epistle of John. And when he talks about Antichrist, he's drawing from that which is the Spirit of the Lord revealed to him in Revelation. So, little children, is the last time, as you have heard, an Antichrist shall come, even on the many Antichrists, whereby we know it's the last time. Right now, they're still adorning the earthly tabernacle, the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. They're binding that which is of Moses to that which Christ taught. Okay, they're binding that. And they get confused. Okay, we see this also in many ministries today when they read the four Gospels. It was Jesus' ministry and his fulfillment of that, those things of Moses and the Psalms and the prophets. Okay, Jesus was not speaking to the church. The apostles were recording these things. They're recording these things to show us the history of the transition. Okay, beginning from John's baptism, the history of this transition began with this man who was the last prophet that would be identified with the old covenant. Because John the Baptist, okay, was a token or a vessel of transition and identified the vessel which would carry this transition into a whole new system, from an earthly priesthood to a heavenly priesthood, from earthly tokens to heavenly tokens, from invisible tokens to invisible tokens. Okay, the Antichrist would want to retain a tradition that's favorable to the aspiration. And that's why it calls it Antichrist, because it opposes the work of regeneration. Right? Tithing opposes the work of regeneration, okay, but it gives the aspiration a hope. But it's a false hope. Okay, it gives the aspiration a hope. Okay, so the false religious system teaches tithing. And when anything transpires that would be to a positive nature, they would say it's because I gave my money. Now, people thought the same thing when they brought sacrifices to the altars of Baal. And we can read about that in Kings and Chronicles. The people were confused because when we were worshiping Baal, that's what they bring out. When we were worshiping Baal, we had fruitful seasons. We had happy families. Okay, everything seemed to be flowing well. And then, of course, and then Elijah comes along and the other prophets come along and says, you're worshiping the wrong God. It was very confusing to them. And it's the same thing today. When we bring forth the knowledge of this covenant, knowledge of God's kingdom, and yet when they begin to suffer loss, they begin to think that they have abandoned the faith when they leave the false religious system. Okay, they feel in themselves that they're abandoning God when they leave the false religious system. But God isn't in the false religious system. See, it's the seducing spirit. The seducing spirit was engrafting them into the wrong tree. Okay, and they felt that the sap of that tree, which was bitter, they thought it was sweet. And this is what Jeremiah was bringing out. You're engrafted in the wrong tree, and your whole perception is bent. Because the Lord is a merciful God and a God of great compassion, making the sun to shine on the just and the unjust, you interpreted everything, okay, that was positive in regarding to your religious system. Okay, but look at all the different gods you've been worshiping. Okay, Rimfan, okay, and Melcom, okay, as well as also, see, the gods of the Philistines even, of Dagon. It was God that was sustaining all society, okay, but not because of their religion. Okay, not because of their faith, but because he's God. Okay? But now he's chastising them. That's why he sent judges. He's chastising the people. And God's doing the same thing today. And the people are confused. The people are confused. They don't understand. Well, we go to church. Why is God sending these plagues? Why is God sending earthquakes and fire? Okay, and hail? Okay, and all these judgments? And of course, then they come to the decision that says, what must be our science? Okay, that's doing it. No, it's not your science that's doing it. It's your ignorance that's doing it. So little children, is last time, as you have heard, an antichrist shall come, even on the many antichrists, okay, many false ministers, whereby we know those last time. This is what Chief Elder and Apostle Peter talked about. Okay, as there was false prophets among these people, even so there should be false teachers among you who will bring in destructive doctrines, damnable heresies, he calls them. He calls them to that extreme, because that's how God views it. Okay, it ruins the soul. Okay, it corrupts the soul. It puts the soul in an environment that's unfavorable. Okay, unfavorable for its growth. Little children, last time, as you have heard, an antichrist shall come. Everybody should be there now. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Even now the many antichrists, whereby we know those last time. They went out from us. What he's saying right here, the separation was for this cleansing. They went out from us, but they were not of us. That manifested that antichrist spirit, which was a false anointing, a seducing spirit. Okay, so they trusted their logic for the interpretation of this knowledge. And they do the same thing today. They trust their logic. They feel that if their logic is true and regarding the natural things, whether it be building a house or working on a car or planting a field, they feel that if my logic works good for me with these things, and then it must be also equally good to work with these religious things. And that's a mistake that they make. No, it's the anointing. Okay, and this is what he goes on here. They went out from us, but they are not of us. Though they have been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. They would have been bonding in charity, but now they're avoiding. But they went out that it might be made manifest that they are not all of us. Of course, John writing this, which they call the first John, he also said the same thing in 3 John. We'll talk about that in a minute. But you have an unction from the Holy One, you know all things. An unction, which means this anointing, is teaching you this charity. Verse 27. In verse 27, it goes on here, but the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you. That is to teach you charity. Okay, now the callings is given by God for the purpose of doctrine and function. Okay, but the anointing teaches you charity, and that's what your sacrifices are. Okay, you're prophesying Christ through your charity. You're prophesying Christ through your charity. That's what the anointing teaches you. Okay, the knowledge, the Spirit selects this knowledge to bond you to the Lord. Okay? But you have an unction from the Holy One, you know all things. That's in relation to this anointing. Okay, but the anointing which you have received of him abides in you. But he says here in verse 26, these things I've written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Now that's a seducing spirit. It's agreeable to the logic. Okay, it's agreeable to logic, but it's not agreeable to faith. The anointing which you have received of him abides in you, need not the name man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, okay, all things regarding this government and kingdom, which gives witness to this, and is truth, because this is what it's building on, and is no lie, which means it doesn't stand to the hypocrisy of your own signature, and is no lie. And even as it's taught you, you shall abide in him. That means you must build on these things of the Spirit. Okay, now let's go to 3 John here for a second. And this is in 3 John chapter, well, there's only one chapter, but it's in verse 8. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Okay, that we all contribute to the harvest. Okay, fellow helpers to the truth, nurturing this grace. I wrote to the church, however, there are those that would rather prefer otherwise as Diotrephes. Well, we can read about the effects of these things there in Revelations chapter 2 and 3. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loved to have preeminence among them, because Diotrephes there abandoned the pattern which we gave you and followed after Balaam, Korah, and Korah. So John here had to deal with these, with these, which also the Apostle Paul brings out. I would have come unto you, but Satan hindered us. And you can see how Satan hindered them. The hindrances had to do with that the apostles had to take the time, okay, to flesh out, if you will, to flesh out with the elders, false elders, and regarding their particular perspectives, okay, what the gospel is all about. Wherefore, if I come, I remember his deeds, okay, which he has done, praying against us with malicious words. Now, he wanted to break the bonds, breaking the bonds with stewardship and the priesthood. If you break the bonds with stewardship, then you also corrupt your priesthood. Okay? If you break the bonds of stewardship, then you corrupt the priesthood. And you see this with the confrontation which Moses faced with Korah and Dathan of Abiram and On, okay, and the 250 Levites, okay, who took censers and stood before the tabernacle with their censers. They despised Moses, but they wanted the priesthood. Okay, and 250 of them, which means it looked like Moses was outnumbered at that point. It was just him and Aaron. You can say they contended with the stewardship. And when you do that, you just polluted your priesthood. When you pollute the priesthood, you offend God. Wherefore, if I come, I remember his deeds, which he does, praying against us with malicious words, which has to do with sowing doubt, okay, and demonizing charity. Praying against us with malicious words, which has to do with demonizing the charity, and not content with therewith, which means they do not find peace in iniquity. You can't find peace in iniquity. Okay, so the God code is pursuing, is using the wrong tokens. If the God code uses faith, then the soul is full. If the God code uses the aspiration, there's no equity. So therefore, it pushes the aspiration more and more and more into a form of madness. Okay, let's go back here, verse 10. Not content therewith, see the word not content. Okay, therewith neither does himself receive the brethren, sowing discord, and forbids them that wouldn't cast them out of the church. And when we cast them out of the church, which means when John sent teachers, okay, when the apostle, chief elder John sent teachers there, Diotrephes denied them access to the assembly. Because Diotrephes wanted to display his own light as the anointing. Beloved, follow that which is evil, but that which is good. Not the anointing of the flesh, the anointing of the Spirit. So, beloved, follow that which is evil, but that which is good. Okay, he that does good, that's embracing this anointing, prefers the truth. But he that does good is of God. But he that does evil has not seen God. For those believers, the unconverted believers that build on their own self, the moral code, okay, they're untethered from God, and they can't see the value of the government nor the apostles. Okay, so we see religious confusion here. And we see the same thing, though, Jude chapter 1, verse 8. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers, the imaginations now, filthy dreamers, which means that they're following the imagination, their own logic. They follow the logic of their imagination and eat 11 cakes. They also oppose any authority and stewardship, preaching a gospel of their own. They're lawless to the government and demand that their logic speaks to truth. So likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Okay, and that's out of the Epistle of Jude, verse 8. Okay, now we'll jump over here to the book of Romans just for a moment. Okay, so you can put your marker there. We'll jump over to Romans. Marker back in Thessalonians, but we're jumping in Romans here. Chapter 16, and verses 17 through 20. Okay, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Now this is the Apostle Paul in the government. Now when those untethered from the throne, the unconverted believer, reads the same verses that we're reading right now. Okay, but they take this to protect the aspiration. But we take this to preserve the knowledge of God. They take it to preserve their religious aspirations. In other words, okay, every church that you go to that's outside of God's covenant, every church that you would attend or observe, okay, will take these same scriptures and use it to warn against the truth, to despise government. And that's what Jude saw. Chief Elder Peter saw it. Chief Elder Jude saw it. Okay, they saw the same things. That was 2,000 years ago. The leadership of the false religious system, okay, will take this knowledge, which the true apostles wrote. Okay, they would take ownership of it, which is private interpretation, make application to themselves, as those also did of the Torah. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Essenes, the Libertines, and the Cyrenians did the same thing. Okay, all those religious groups selected verses out of the Torah in order to establish their own righteousness, which is self-righteousness. So I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions. Okay, beware those elders which sow many kind of problems, even causing some to avoid fellowship based on their own tradition and religious aspirations. Okay, so mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, that's from the true apostles now, and avoid them, any further recognition of their calling. Okay, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what we just talked about, because this caliber of person has slipped away from the faith to promote their own self as stewards of the kingdom. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but what? Their own belly. That's the religious aspiration, the imagination. So he says the word on their own belly, he's reflecting back upon Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Okay, for one morsel of meat, in order to satisfy the longing of his own aspiration and appetites, he assigned that, you could say, his inheritance to Jacob. And the false, those of the false religious system would do the same thing. So God is their belly. They glory in their shame. Okay, I mean, the glorying in shame has to do with their identifying their particular denomination and its growth and expansion and their building programs and all the programs they have, okay, as being God-ordained. People view, they weigh truth by the eye of the flesh. We weigh truth by the eye of the spirit, by the eyes of fire, okay, as we see in the book of Revelation. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. They build, again, their own biblical dogma as their faith and sophisticated thinking to convey the appearance, that's the religious aspiration, as grace, and psychoanalyzing. They use the Bible more as a book of psychology. And we know they do that. Okay, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Okay, for your obedience, your choice of service in a true priesthood, for your obedience in Rome there, your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would, as he's saying here, cautioning them, be careful. But yet I would have you wise into that which is good, and we just read about the good, which means that which is wholesome in truth, and simple concerning evil, by following my counsel. That you follow my counsel, he says, and simple concerning that which is evil, not to embrace it. The God of peace, the same thing Chief Elder John told me personally, as concerning this peace and witness. Okay, as also Chief Elder Peter confirmed the priesthood, okay, about 10 years later. And this is back in the 1980s, 1990s. Now the God of peace, because I was confirmed both not only by our Lord Jesus Christ, okay, but also confirmed by these two apostles, by the Apostle John, chief elder John, and by Apostle Peter, chief elder Peter. Okay, as also the Apostle Paul was confirmed by them with Barnabas, as we've seen in the book of Galatians. Okay, now the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Okay, which means as you increase in your charity, okay, God will immobilize Satan's tricks through these people. Because you're building upon that foundation of truth, you're able to navigate now, okay, around these stumbling blocks of doubt. Okay, because you're not working with logic. If you work with logic, logic builds doubt because logic favors the aspiration. When people are working with their logic, they're favoring the aspiration. Okay, they're building on the sand. Okay, they're building on the sand. They're sand people. Okay, they're just building on the sand. Okay, and we know that's weak because sand, okay, is a result of the stone, and the stone is a result of the water. Okay, God turned the standing waters, which there was chaos. It was the earth was out form and void. Okay, the chaos of the waves were 5 miles high, and God froze them, okay, into stone, and from the stone he created the sand, and from the sand, man built his philosophy of life. That's why this is the dimension of waters. The dimensions of waters, I say, is what the sand people build with. What we build in a foundation, which is from above. They gave the foundation of that of the holy city, as our father Abraham taught us. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And that's what we do. Okay, we build upon the foundation. Now, my name isn't in the foundation, but my faith is there. As your name is not in that foundation, but your faith is there. Okay, the Apostle Paul's name is not in that foundation, but his faith is, and so is ours. Our faith is in that foundation. Okay, Abraham's name is written in a 12 layers of foundation, but the apostles and Lamb were written there. As an example, in Abraham's case, it was the future. Okay, in the apostles of the first century's case, it was the present. As in our case now, it's the past. Okay, and Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay, so the God of peace here, he will increase this, shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly, immobilize these tricks, paralyzing Satan, which means this. That's what Jesus did when he said it is written. Jesus, the steward of the anointing there, stood against the false priesthood of Satan. Satan was issuing Jesus ultimatums, challenges. And now, if Satanel would have remained within the light, his priesthood to Adam would have been profitable for Adam's light. Everything that Adam would receive through Satanel, okay, if Satan didn't fall. Okay, but it was God's design that such an event happened. Okay, just for food for thought, if you can say. If Satanel didn't fall, okay, then he would have brought Adam the light of the throne. Okay, he would have been the anointing of Adam. Okay, the true anointing of Adam. But now Satan is the false anointing. He's the false anointing. Untethered from the throne, he's the false anointing. That's the seducing spirit. But being tethered to the throne, he would have brought Adam the knowledge of God's kingdom. As he did in the garden, he brought to Eve the knowledge of God's kingdom, okay, but in deception. Okay, that is to affront God with a challenge. Okay, now we're going to jump over to John 14 for a moment here. Okay, now we're going to see about the greater works here. The greater works are born through the invisible and eternal priesthood. And this is what Jesus is teaching. Because the angel of the Lord has given Jesus this knowledge. That's the angel that comforted him in the garden. When Jesus is in the garden, he says, "Not my will, thy will be done." And that shows submission of the flesh to the spirit. Okay, instead of the flesh ruling in the spirit, which is Satan's kingdom, the flesh is subjected to the spirit, which is God's kingdom. All right, now let's start in verse 10. Everyone should be there now. "Believe you not that I'm in the Father and the Father of me." Now, the Father is invisible. Okay, but how can a God, okay, fill the universe and at the same time inhabit your soul? Okay, your soul is the size of a drop of water. Your soul is the size of a drop of water. Okay, but its propensities of power, okay, is that stronger than an atomic bomb? Okay, as an example. It says here, "Believe you not that I'm in the Father." Now he says, "In the Father," which means that which the Father has sanctified is the witness which I work by. That's what we do today. "That which our Father sanctifies is the witness which we live by. Believe you not that I'm in the Father and the Father of me?" Okay, we see that even though our Father in heaven is invisible, okay, yet we're tethered to him. And this is what Jesus is explaining to them. Okay, I'm inside my Father, and my Father is inside of me by this divine tethering. as also you are tethered to him. Okay, all things he created are tethered to him, as all things are tethered to his conscience. And all things would be tethered to our conscience in the baptism of light, because our conscience would be tethered to the Father and the throne. Okay, so we can see that there is a chain of tethering, a links, many links of tetherings, okay, which is to the Father. And it's by these things that everything comes into existence and is also sustained. It's sustained through us, as everything living today is sustained to the Father, because it's tethered to his conscience. And God, he'll never die. Death is a creation. Okay, death was created by the Father only for this time frame. So, believe you not that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? Hey, the words that I speak unto you, so hide the word words there, the knowledge which I shared is this is of the bosom of the crystal sea. The words I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, nor the aspiration, but the Father, that of the Godhead that tethers me together with you, with him. But the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. And he's the one that's empowering this knowledge and giving witness to my words for your record. That's the same thing that's unfolding at this present time. Because I'm tethered to the Father through the stewardship, the knowledge which I'm sharing with you, okay, is the witness which you're building with. You're building with that witness, which is the witness from above. And that witness is life. Okay? In him is life, and the life is the light of men. By these things we behold the face of the Father. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father of me. Okay, that means accept this mystery. Okay, that this dimension itself is an orb. Now, I posted a picture of that on my Facebook page. Scientists discovered that this whole universe or this galaxy is within a certain parameters of like a dimension. Okay, they just discovered that, which we already knew that. Okay, that's a dimension of the Father himself. A dimension within a dimension. The same thing, your dream world is a dimension within a dimension. Your dream world. Okay, your dream world being a dimension within a dimension has full access, okay, by that tethering of the other dimension, full access to it. So that our Father can speak in dreams and in visions. Whether you're saved or unsaved, he can speak in regarding the status of the condition of your soul. Okay, the state of the condition of your soul comes through this tethering. Now, the nations of the world will be angry because once Satan is cast out of heaven, the knowledge and the state of the conscience is pressed because it's open. It's pressed upon and it's open. They see their guilt. Okay, so accept this testimony, he says here, and accept this mystery. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Okay, the activity, that is that I have fulfilled his words in the mouth of all his prophets, for even Enoch saw my miracles and heard the name given to me 4,000 years ago. And you see this in the book of Enoch. Okay, 4,000 years ago, Enoch heard that name. Verse 12. Okay, verily, verily, as then, so now, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, that reflects and works with this and resources this record, labors with these things, he that believes on me, and functions in my priesthood, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. So we see there an equality. Okay, an equality is placed upon us for this unity and fellowship, okay, with our Father. He that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Now, for your record and in the future, which is greater works even in his bosom. Okay, then these shall you do, or shall he do, as kings and priests. We see this in Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. And has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because I go unto my Father, that is to prepare your mansion for you. The mansion, the chamber of your throne. The chamber of your throne, you shall fill it as a fiery pillar, as a testimony of my Father. That's what Jesus is saying. We see this in the book of Revelation. Okay, now those of my house, for, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, those of his house, whatsoever you ask in my name, by this token of ownership, that will I do that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That's to show the cycle of life and connection of covenant faith. You see that we love him because he first loved us. That this was initiated from the throne only to be received back with increase. We see many testimonies. Okay, you see this in religious magazines and religious programming, okay, about God answering prayers, whether it be for healing or some kind of financial okay, difficulty that an individual had, or even a person that died and saw Jesus. The thing of it is that the experiences which they have still isolated them from this reciprocation. They never reciprocated to God what God is looking for. Nothing is received back to the Father with increase, though it's appreciated, but it's built upon now with the aspiration. A seducing spirit now takes the knowledge in the direction of self, self-worthiness. And this is why the church, the false religious system, not the true church, but the false religious system is very confused. Because the people that have these life after death experiences are from many different denominations, different churches, okay, different lifestyles. And it's confusing. It says, how is it that you had this experience? That your soul came out of your body and you saw Jesus, but the same thing with that guy over there, he doesn't go to the same church I do. So therefore, the false religious system came to a very bad conclusion, and that has to do, okay, that truth doesn't matter. That's what they think, but that's not what God thinks, okay, because we know that truth is consistent with God's character, purpose, and plan. Okay, if truth wasn't important, then the chief elders of the first century, okay, would have initiated that, saying that all you have to do is believe the history. Believe about the three wise men, believe about the virgin birth, believe about the cross, believe about the resurrection, believe Jesus walked on water, believe that he healed the lepers. Okay, believing those things won't save you. Believing those things, the virgin birth will not save you. The covenant will save you. So they build confidence within their tradition and history, a ministerial history, but not a covenant history. So here, this is what Jesus is bringing to the attention of his disciples here. If you love me, that is by this reciprocation you glorify me, this is your charity which pleases me. So if you love me, keep my commandments. That means you must express me in these terms of a new law, okay, an invisible priesthood. And I will pray the Father. That's what Jesus is saying, I'll pray the Father. It is here where you will receive remission of sin. I will pray the Father and he shall give you another comforter. That means the mediation of a stewardship, which God sanctifies, but not in the law of Moses, written in stone tablets. Okay, but rather that which is engrafted within the heart, a new law and commandment, and this you receive forgiveness of sin. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And that, of course, has been engrafted within us. This is what you're learning to work with. You're learning to work with the Spirit. You're learning to work with his power. You're learning to carry this pattern for power in the Father's bosom. Even the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of Truth, it is here. Yet the anointing will confirm the Father's will, which the protesters and faithless ones will refuse and deny. Even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive. Why? Because it doesn't see him. This priesthood is invisible. It's not joined to Levitical genealogies, or visible temple, or visible tokens. Therefore, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him. That means you see him now in me as I speak this mystery to you. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. They can't hear the truth through the stewardship, so they use the law for the voice of the Lord and their justification. So Satan will hinder faith by the corrupt priesthood and the visible token. Okay, now let's go back to Thessalonians. Okay, so Satan hindered us. Okay, that's what we read there in verse 18. Now let's read the last two verses here. For what is our hope? That's our covering of promise. The goals and covering of promise. For what is our hope or joy? There's the word joy again, and we talked about that last week. Because the joy has to do with the perfection of the cycle. Completion and perfection of the cycle. Okay, which is through the witness and the record coming together. When a witness and a record come together, that's the Father's joy. Because it's full of faith. Okay, it's full of faith and charity. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing, Paul says here, concerning each cycle to enter this door of glory, which much fruit, that's the crown of rejoicing. We enter the throne of glory through this door to the throne of glory, rejoicing. Okay, are not even you in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ is coming? Because he qualifies you by rewarding your faith for your consistency in all things. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? And none of you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ is coming. And of course, we can see that the Lord visits us. Okay, he also sends his angels to visit us. Okay, on numerous occasions, as the anointing is attending your faith now. And this is what Paul says here, verse 20, for you are our glory and joy. Okay, you're our glory and joy because the house of God, as a basket of bread, it possesses all the things which are necessary for your health and nourishment. By the virtue of Christ, whose gifts are of his fullness, it makes us worthy to receive him to feed our God code in power, in his riches, in his wisdom, in his strength, honor, glory, and blessing, which we see in Revelation 5:12. This is why the chief elder John reciprocated in this manner. If you want to make a note on that, Revelation 5:12. You are our glory and joy, because the reciprocation is according to the divine pattern. If the reciprocation was by the aspiration, it brings death. But the reciprocation is by faith and covenant, it brings life and peace.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, you have to begin to seek God. You're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset. And you're going to have to seek him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today. Continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ersick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.